Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to The Wire, our first one of this year. It's been a while since we've had the boys in the studio. Well, it's actually the first time we've had the boys in the studio. Wooker's popped by a couple of times to annoy me and fucking just make my ears bleed. But this is Natty's first, I guess you call it a debut in the CBA Centre of Excellence. I'll throw to you first, Natty. How are we feeling, brother? Enjoying it?
I am utterly impressed with the digs that you have here, brother. Like, I've been walking around the studio and just yelling out, oh, what about this? Oh, this over here. This is a fucking museum. Have a look at this. This VH, it's unbelievable, mate. What you've done here is very impressive. I'm very proud of you. It's unbelievable, man.
Mate, I just had a quick look over your draft side and it's almost as impressive as the museum of the over the hill players you've got in there. Very good. Walk, how are we, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I've had a strong start of the season and I'm ripping and a tearing.
He starts every Wire season with that exact so comment.
Yeah. No, I was in struggle.
No. If we roll the tape, I'll probably clip this
play
up.
Play back the tape, mate. Play back the tape.
And you start every season with, I'm looking good, really strong.
I started from a draft perspective very bad, but because I wasn't able to make the trip away. My wife, Dree, she was in labour at the time, so wasn't able to get away with the boys, desperate for it. Natty will give us a bit of a rundown on that. But, look, I was pacing around on my phone ready to do the draft and the wife turned to me and said, look, if you're not going to be paying attention to me, go home, do the draft and come back. I'll tell you what, didn't have to tell me twice. I was out of there faster than you could say.
I love that. That's unreal.
Tell me a more draft degenerate story than that.
It's right up there. Yeah, before we continue, Wook, I'd just like to also, if you actually have a look just to your right, there's actually a Supercoach trophy there. I'm not sure if you've ever seen one before, but that's what they look like.
I've won many a comp. I've just not won our home comp.
That's cute.
Nothing that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when the Sharkies used to claim the Amco Cup.
Yeah. I've won things. Gets real defensive. I've won things in my life.
I'm always there or thereabouts, and with the team I've pulled together, I'll be there again.
Luckily, you get points for that.
Yeah, that's good. It's AFL, you get points for coming close. It's good gear. So just a quick little trophy trek to start a new season. I've got two next to my name, Natty.
Two. Dos.
Or Double. What about you, Duck Egg? What's doing? Is this the year?
Ah, look, I've been a bridesmaid so many times, it's bound to happen.
Wooka wobbles, it's a thing. It's a real thing, people.
Look, you guys can talk it up, but I've got the team structure in place to put me there when it counts. We'll go through it in a minute, but I'm confident.
Fuck, I just had some deja vu. Same as last year and the year before. It's unbelievable.
Seriously, it is. Oh, it
you
is.
Too fucking.
Natty, take us through your draft day, mate. I imagine you had a pretty big one, as you usually do.
Oh, it's a big weekend, Roo. So we kick off at my joint, pile all the cars up. It's pretty much just alcohol and the things for the challenges. Drive down to Crescent's Head, and then we're just onto it. Oh, well, I drove down, so the boys are into it in the back seat. Mm. So it's go from woe. Get there, and it's one of those nights where the excitement's high, so everyone gets real drunk the first night. And there's nothing you can do about that. That's just what's going to happen. Wake up Saturday morning, put on a big breakfast, sausages, steak, eggs, couple of cruisers to get you going. And then we're into the challenge day, and we've got things like cornhole, there's a passing target, dropout, there's a marble race, beer pong, it's a costume day, so the winner of the comp from the previous season, he picks the theme. So this year was cartoon characters, and the boys rip in. Like, there were some great costumes there, and then the whole day is just an absolute weapon of a day. Everyone's on the beers. Challenges went off without a hitch. Everyone was good. We have like a little book to keep score. Everyone gets a go at keeping score, so it's not one person's responsibility for the day. And came third. It's my highest finish for the challenge day.
What did you dress up as?
I went as Yosemite Sam.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
What do you think would have been best suited for our mate over there? I was thinking cat dog. Doesn't know his ass from his head.
Actually, you had your costume ready.
I had the costume ready to go. I was going to go as Stewie Griffin.
Oh, right.
It would have been absolutely hilarious, but it wasn't to be.
We had the bloke that won it, he went as Gambit from X-Men, and it was like proper movie quality.
Yeah.
it was ridiculous. And another bloke came as Venom.
It was a big Gambit.
Yeah, yeah. Another bloke came as Venom, and his whole suit was leather with a leather mask, and he's bald. So when he took his cap mask off, it just sweat just poured out of it. Oh. And so one of the rules is you can mix your costume up like during challenge between challenges, like take your mask off, sort of like whatever. But when you're doing the challenge, you have to be full costumed up, baby. Masks, everything. So we had to put this sweaty fucking rubber cap on every time he did his challenge. Credit to him. He did it every single time.
Yeah, that's grim. My draft day, a little bit tamer than yours. Boys, our challenges and whatnot.
Not hard to go tamer than ours.
We had 50% of our challenges in the lead up to have something during the off season and whatnot. Then on game day, we had a couple of challenges, but the last one that was double points sort of decided the whole thing. We had our guy that was deciding the challenges, Stevie, who's a big rub down fan as well.
Shout out Stevie.
Go Stevie.
It's actually a really interesting idea. There's a beach across the road from where we stay, so I went down on the sand and he marked a spot and he said all 14 of us are going to walk out. And you've got to put your marker down when you think you hit 187 meters. And it was just,
that is wild.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. So you all just had to put down in a spot. And then we went back and we measured it where 187 meters was. And then we went the closest each way, measured it to go 1 to 14. And that's how many points you got. I think I came second or third in that. So I was actually looking at a 13, 14 pick.
Big meters guy.
In a 14 man league, that's a tough first pick.
Yeah, it would have been brutal. Well, the guys that are there are fucked now. Yeah, it would have been tough. But yeah, I did pretty well on that. So it got me back up. So it got me into seventh place. So I was I thought I'd get Pappy, but the guy that went fifth went Pappy. So I ended up in a real, I'm actually really happy with where I ended up.
I'll tell you what I forgot to tell you. Remember you dropped the WWE call, I don't know whether it was last year.
Yeah, last year. Before, yeah, shout out to Morgan and those boys.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I did it.
Oh, you did it, did you?
It was one of the challenges.
So I spent a couple of months creating characters for each of the members of the league, incorporating their colours of their teams and their personalities. And then it was like a 5-man Royal Rumble in sort of a round robin. So when you got kicked out, you're out, and then it kept going in the round
robin. You simulated it?
Yeah, so you simulate it, you kick back, have a beer, and you will just watch your dude wrestle. It was incredible.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. It's a little bit of work for whoever's doing it, but it's actually fun to do because you're like, Like, you should see what I've made for Walker. He's in like this suit that's Broncos colours with a gimp mask.
That's great. Yeah, such a good idea, right?
It's, yeah, mate,
it's unreal.
When I heard it, I was like, this is a great idea. But then on the night, everyone just got, because it was a surprise. I didn't tell anyone about it. I was like, this is a surprise challenge.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's going on? And I've got the PlayStation here. I'm starting to, and they go, what's going on? I go, fucking WrestleMania, boys. You've each got a character. And so, like, no one had seen their character yet. And so the walkout, you know, the intro, everyone's like, yes.
That's hectic.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was really good.
No, I'm heaps.
Even if you just did that to choose your order, just that one challenge.
No, I can be mad.
100%.
I'm the more I, longer I do draft, and the more I just think almost sometimes simple is better.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I really liked in our draft comp this year that we knew 50% of our weighing before we got there.
Yeah.
Mm. So you sort of had a ballpark idea. So I was sitting in 11th.
Yep.
And then at 50%, then the next challenge, I got down the bottom. I was I took a big punt and ended up down the bottom. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to have a last pick. I'll start planning for that. And then thankfully fucking pulled it out of the fire on the last one. But I never even thought about the top five picks. Yeah, look, I like it like that. I think it's good. But then you had the guy, I think he was coming third and he ended up 12th.
Oh.
So his mindset was completely flipped.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been prepared for those late picks in our comp. Yeah. So, yeah, really interesting. Okay, so draft day, out of the way, all good fun for most involved.
Mm.
We're going to start with Wook's team. Mate, you're going to take us through your draft day.
Yeah.
Then we're going to ask you a couple of questions, and then you're going to take us to your current day side.
Yep, righto. So, obviously, I was drafting from 11th. In our league, we've got 12 teams. We swap picks in the second round. So we effectively go three rounds of linear draft. So I was picking 11th, then 23rd, and then 30 whatever. So it was a tough first carry for me. I went in, got home, got myself ready, nutted out who I thought I was going to go for. I was tossing up between Fifita and Pappy for my first pick at 11. Ended up tying my horse to Fifita.
Yeah.
So I went him at pick 11 and I thought, look, I can see another high ceiling player that I'll pick up in 23. I'll make something work. Turned out the guy that was ahead of me did not pick Pappy. Pappy was still sitting there at pick 23. Christmas had come early and I got both the guys I was going for on my first pick. Made a few different picks. I got Eli Katoa. He was a little bit later in the drafts. Karaz, I thought, was in for a big season. I'm a little bit concerned just about the Doggies moving forward.
Yeah.
Took a specky pick on RTS. Definitely liked the cut of his jib in preseason. Took a punt on Mitchy Barnett at front row forward. Got him a little bit earlier than I probably wanted to.
Did you skip Cody Walker at number 3? Why'd you do that?
Because I'm not happy with the pick.
Yeah, let's be full transparent on this podcast.
So full transparency.
Let's not skip the ones
let's not hide behind shit picks. Okay. Let's just be open and honest. It's an honest circle. We just call it as it is. We own our mistakes. You can't get them all right. Sometimes you've got to take ownership for your really shit picks.
All right. So pick 35 for me was Cody Walker.
Shit pick.
At the end of the day, he's averaging over 50. It hasn't gone as well as expected.
What do you think would notice? We could see it.
Yeah. Look. No one would have predicted how poorly the Bunnies have started the season, myself included. So this one's been a bit tough. The 5/8 position. Look, he's not droppable. He's got zero trade value. It's just a challenge at the moment, just to take what I can get from him. I've had other players prop him up though.
I will say though, for me just sitting here listening to you, you know, I remember when I drafted Walker last year and how roasted I got and how much shit I copped from you. And just looking at his, you know, average from last year, it was pretty handy compared to this year.
I'm pretty sure we roasted you because you were dead against having him in your side. And we pointed to the stats. You were on, I think it was a comparison between Luai and Cody Walker.
Oh, he's a big Luai guy.
Yeah.
One of the best backflips you'll ever see from Gary last year.
He's the best backflipper since DCE.
Jason Bourne style.
Like. Did I get the guy I wanted?
Well.
Walk straight into the chat. By the way, I love that you said he's averaging 50. It's 48. That's nice. Very good.
50-ish.
Plenty of holes in the story early on.
It's only 20 less than when I had him last year.
Very shaky.
It's been a tough start to the season for Cody and anyone who was a Bunnies fan or in the building.
Rounded up to 60. Why not?
70. Fuck. Yeah, why fuck stop it. There?
Yeah.
100 points.
Fine.
You might as well. It's closer to 70 than zero, so why not?
That's fine. That's fine.
Fuck, that's good. If I can't believe you skipped him and thought we wouldn't notice.
If we're talking about bed shits, I also brought in Will Kennedy as my backup fullback to Pappy. That hasn't gone to plan. He looked just in actual NRL, he hasn't looked up to pace. He's looked at least two steps away from where he's needed in attack. And look, apart from a dribble try assist last week, the week before, I've dropped him. So it's not a problem I have to deal with anymore. But yeah, it's not great.
Mm.
Another specky pick a bit later in the draft was Jackie Whiten. That's turned out okay in attack. Defense, the whole team is a shambles. And I think there's going to be a lot of turnover in a few of the key positions for that team. So a little bit of a concern there. Tommy Flegler was a really good late pickup for me in round 13. Got him as my second front row forward. And then Jesse Ramian as my last pick, just to provide some stability in the CT dub spot.
Can I ask you, mate, did you just say before you picked up Will Kennedy as backup for Pappenhausen, is that what you
Correct.
Just said?
Yep.
Right. But you didn't draft Pappy.
That's that second pick. So because we swapped picks,
he had
to pick for someone else.
Yeah. Okay. I picked for someone who was at pick 15.
Yep.
And then they wanted Haas, so I picked up Haas for them, and then they picked up Pappy for me on the return. Okay.
And just to clear that up, it sounds a little bit convoluted for people at home, but we do this so that the draft day challenge has more weighting if you win it. So if you win challenge day, you obviously get pick one and pick 13.
Yeah.
So you're rewarded for winning challenge day. Otherwise,
but equally putting people at a disadvantage if they don't go to challenge day to promote challenge day itself.
Yep.
So in my comp, the guy that got Ryan Pappenhausen was a bit of a no-brainer because my comp's so deep to grab Sua Falongo as well as sort of that backup in case. Is your comp deep enough to have to worry about that or not really?
Nah.
Yeah,
not
okay.
at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise he would have been one of my last picks, but I can grab him if I need to later on.
Completely fair. What stands out to you from this one, Natty?
Yeah, look, well, I already sort of highlighted the one that fucking stood out to me, which was the just skipperoo, just the big hop, skip and jump straight over the top of Cody Walker. And
I knew I wasn't going to get it past
we were
you too.
Following along, literally like watching the dotted line bounce across the screen. And all of a sudden we went from fucking Pappy down to Elise Katoa and hang on, pick three, just mate. So obviously, yeah, shit the bed there. That's an early pick for Cody Walker.
Yep.
Yeah, Will Kennedy's no good. Connor Watson looking okay now, but early on would have been no good.
It was obviously before TLT, so I had the gut feel that he was going to get that 14 spot. Mm. Obviously, Sandon Smith ended up getting the position, so he was just straight out of my team.
Yeah.
My favourite pick, and this is no surprise to anyone who listens to Rub Down, and that is Eli Katoa.
We were absolutely – the two players that I was biggest on this season was Eli Katoa and Karaz.
Yep.
Eli Katoa has ticked every single box we were hoping for.
Yep.
Karaz, it's just the doggies just need to lift, I think.
We had a little bit of a pushback with Eli Katoa in some of the comments and stuff in the preseason. But he averages like over 70 and 80 minute games in 2023. That combo between him and Hughes is on storm strength of schedule in your Supercoach finals. It's crazy. I mean, you got him in round four. I'd be happy if you had got him in place of Cody Walker, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, it was touch and go whether I went him and then just settled for Dearden. After
that would have been the smart play.
I think, eyes up footy now, but at that time, looking at a player who was topping out the try assists for 5/8, so look, it was looking like a great pick until he actually started playing.
In your comp was Pappy going at 14? Is that sort of what you expected to happen, or
no? Pappy went at 23.
23.
Yeah. So I got
Fuck. Wow.
So late. I was so happy with the pick.
I'm shocked he went that late.
So am I. Well, the only reason why he went so late is because Natty will speak about his stack play later.
So also, let's give it. I'll give it a little bit of background on Sunday morning when we drafted. There were dudes vomiting out the back between picks. So everyone was like proper on death's doorstep. Like there's a bloke in our league who we call the pest and he doesn't shut up. Like if you muzzled him, you would still hear him perfectly, right? And he was sitting next to me. I'm hungover as sin, just trying to get through these picks. So it was bedlam, right? So I think blokes were just doing their best. And that's just how we do it. Like it is what it is. It's a big weekend. Everyone rips in. So the guy that really had the leg up was Wooker at home sober and still had some questionable picks. But anyway, like, whatever.
Great story, but didn't really answer my question in any way, shape or form.
What was the question again?
I'm shocked that Pappy went all the way to 23. He's a guy that his day can average 90.
I guess injury concerns, why people let him slip. But yeah, it is like 100%.
Fuck, I think it's hurt, mate. Yeah.
It was a bed shit by the rest of the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, very interesting. I agree with you, mate. I think the Eli Katoa was a good one. I love the Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. I had my eyes on him. I came into draft day very confident I'd get Roger. And one of the rogue little characters in our comp went him a little bit earlier than I thought he would. And I thought, credit to you. That's a good little get. Mate, Jamal Fogarty, pick number 7, obviously just needed to cover that halfback position.
Yeah, partially that and partially last season he wasn't goal-kicking. So he has a really deflated average from last year. So a 52 average, we think with the goal kicking, possibly with how the Raiders are attacking, maybe an inflate a higher score than he did the previous season, which I think was about 60 odd. So I'm hoping for about a 55 average from him. That's all I need.
Yeah, I'll take that, 100%. Yep. Mate, I love in your comp how like your last 3 picks are genuine NRL players.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so jealous of it.
Yes. I mean, you drop those players for probably better blokes than the free agent.
It's insanity.
There's so much player fluidity in our league. And that's what we like in our league. We like just players in and out of teams. It's just while like you look at the guys that get dropped after, you know, Tuesday night and you're like, holy, okay, here we go. There's some diamonds out there. So it's just, there's a lot of activity.
The one thing that's taken me a little bit of time to wrap my head around is
winning games.
What, coming from the guy 0-3? No, I used to have a real affinity with like owning of the players.
Yeah.
And the fact of losing them in bets and trading them out and all that sort of stuff, it took a little while for me to get used to it.
Yeah.
Now I can't imagine doing a season without it. So it's definitely something that, look, if you're not a betting league, give it a try. And if you're not a trading league, definitely give it a try, because you can help out both parties and it can definitely improve the season.
I am more than happy to admit that I'm like old man screaming, get off my fucking lawn, but I'm the complete opposite of that. I love my league as it is. I hate the bets and shit you do.
It doesn't have to be betting for players either.
No.
Bet cartons, bet bottles.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bet if you catch up for your draft day, bet that, okay, Guru, let's we're playing this week. You have to draft an address. Like it doesn't have to be players. And those sort of things just adds so much activity to the league and then adds things for the weekend as well, especially if you're catching up with everyone. Like the amount of weird bets that we had. Like I had to dress up as a grandma at the pub on the Sunday. We had another bloke in drag as well. It's just –
That one wasn't even from a bet.
Yeah. That's just what we do. That was just my formal dress for the Sunday. But yeah, it doesn't have to be players because I know that people get really scared off with the player bets. And in saying that, it has taken us maybe 3 years get it to a point where it doesn't ruin the league, because it's a very fine line with betting players, and it's a big onus on me as the commissioner to keep tabs on that so that like certain rules are adhered to, because it can get out of hand and guys can fuck other teams over, and then all of a sudden you got guys going, fuck it then, I'm off. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I get that that's hard, but just bet a carton, bet whatever. Like it, if you like a bet on the weekend, you got putting same game multis, it's that same feeling, but Supercoach. It's
the best. You've got to have some skin in the game, I reckon.
Yeah. Your competition, though, the way that you bet players and everything, you guys are the exception, not the example. It's incredible how you've got to the point that you're at. It's honestly unbelievable.
It has taken a lot of work to get our league where it is today. Yeah. It is a mean feat and it is very hard. But where we're at now, it's perfect. Everybody understands. And there's a lot of rules in place to protect teams, to protect players. And I add rules every year. Yeah. Because the thing is, I mean, these motherfuckers, if there's a loop, they'll find a loop.
Oh, yeah.
They'll find a little Weasley way to work it out.
The Storm and Panthers of the league.
Mate, every year I have to make a new rule to stop this new Weasel activity. And those rules just build and build and build. And yeah. But it's good. I could not play a normal league. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't.
I honestly couldn't. It'd be so boring.
I play in a separate league like yours.
Yeah.
And look, it just feels a bit stale.
Dry.
Yeah, fair.
It's also a non-captains league, which is just
that changes things as well. Yeah, that's very vanilla.
Different style of players you'd go
very
for in that one.
Yeah. I think with mine though, and we'll get to my team, but I think just because my group like yours is just so fucking engaged. You just don't give a fucking inch, which I love. But that's just what I'm used to. Yep. What you guys are used to, exactly the same. Mate, let's have a look at your team now, because I just had a quick scan over it, and did you redraft or something? Completely new footy side.
I've had five players come in and out of my side.
Yeah.
So I won Marju off this dickhead in round two. Mm. We had a mandatory player bet. We had Eli Kittel versus Marju, and Eli Kittel ended up getting the chocolates on that one. So
the only game that Marju has ever scored a try and scored below 80.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I was shocked and
I was
quite happy to see that. So I was a very nice guy, and we have a don't be a prick rule with losing it, winning your bets. So you send a return player that's decent value.
Yeah.
So I sent RTS back to him. In hindsight, I probably should have sent fucking Jesse Ramian. But yeah, that's worked out quite well for Natty, because as soon as I got Marju in my team, ended up with that wrist injury. So I've held him and I'm quite happy to hold him. But yeah, another move I made was I went Watson to Cheese. So someone dropped Cheese. So went and picked him up instead of AEing the position. Someone dropped Brian Kelly. So I went Jack Bird to Brian Kelly, and then brought in, after all your spruiking of him getting front row forward, in round two I jumped in and I got Joshy Curran.
Nice.
For Jesse Ramian, because I needed a little bit of 2RF help. And then Will Kennedy for Sloan. Sloan in for Will Kennedy in round four.
Outside of Sloan, I don't think any of those players have ever seen the waiver wire in my competition.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Wild.
Yeah, so there is a lot of value on our waivers each and every week.
Yeah. How's Brian Kelly been going?
Not too bad, like up and down.
He's a good Supercoach player, though.
What's up?
He's a good Supercoach player.
He's a fantastic Supercoach player. He's a horrible defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
That's my big concern, because Desi's not the type of coach that'll stand for it.
Yeah.
So he has been dropped in the past for his defensive issues. So that's my big concern. He's only in my CTW rotation. So if he gets dropped, I drop him and I don't really care too much.
His upside is solely dependent on David Fifita, right?
100%.
So and Fifita's back in his Titans side. You've got David Fifita.
Yeah.
It's not a bad stack.
I went for it purely for the stack.
Yep.
I've often thought with Brian Kelly, so good in attack, so poor in defence, that if the Gold Coast Titans mascot didn't show up 1 week, Brian Kelly could just walk around the ground high-fiving children and kissing babies, because he is the Gold Coast Titans personified, isn't he?
100%.
Yeah, so much talent, so much ability, just can't seem to put it all together.
Yeah, and it's a case they just can't put 80 minutes of footy together. So you saw they came out and they went well in the second half, but first half they just didn't show up. I think it's going to be a consistent thing for the Titans this season. It's just going to be a tough watch. I just hope it works in their attack, because we know that they're electric.
Boys, we have this podcast every year and I have a look at your teams, and I am just always so bitterly disappointed that not only do you go with two 2RFs, you only go with two CTWs, which I fucking hate. I mean, it's hard for me to sort of look at this side and work out where you're sitting in comparison to your comp, because mine's so different. But I would imagine that you must be pretty happy with your two RFs and your CTWs.
Yeah, I'd be pretty top tier with the CTWs, but definitely the top two RFs.
Yeah,
easily. Outside of that, though, it's been a bit of a challenge for halves and obviously hooker. So yeah, it's a watch and wait for me. But been like low key pretty excited about what my front row forward, my pack's been doing. Mm. And now you add to that Curran. Yeah, very stoked with what's going on there. When you have a look at the rest of the league, everyone's really struggling at front row forward.
Yeah, that's probably your strong point, honestly, is your front row forward and what you've got on the bench there. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
How much longer do you see Sloan lasting for in your side?
Oh, not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I only picked him up because I just couldn't watch Kennedy drop another 27 points with a try assist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I brought him in because Sloan, on his day, is a mad try scorer, doesn't want to go into the collision for defence. So would not shock me in the least if there's a late change. If he does end up going to the wing, onto the right wing, that's still prime real estate and potential to unlock CTW in round 12 as well. So, look, for me, it's a wait and watch whether he gets properly dropped or just a positional shift.
Mm. Your back row is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Your CTWs obviously lack they're not playing for great attacking teams, right? So Kiraz and Whiten, that's the big issue there. Obviously, guys that have decent base, but is that upside going to be there? Probably not. Obviously, you've got Marzu to come back into this side, which is going to be a big help.
That's going to be huge.
We talked about this in the rub, and I'm keen to get your insight into this as well, Guru. And this was just me just thinking about it, alone with my own thoughts, eight beers deep on a Sunday night. But the way that Tuala has been playing on the left and how much more toe he has than Greg Marzu, is it more beneficial for the Knights to keep Tuala on the left and play Greg Marzu on the right, because Marzu does what he does regardless of what edge he plays, right?
Mm.
Whereas the space that KP is creating for Tuala, Tuala's probably better equipped to turn that space into line breaks and tries. Because, I mean, I love Greg Marzu. Greg Marzu's my boy, but it's almost like he makes a line break and turns around and looks for contact.
Mm.
And he doesn't have enough as much toe as Tuala. And I was like, if I was the Knights, I would probably try that out.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that. I don't see it happening personally. I think Marshy will walk straight back into that side. Fair point, but I also think like, and yeah, he's got a bit more toe than him. But I mean, fuck, like you just can't compete with that tackle breaking ability. Mm. Like honestly.
But he can do that on the right.
Yeah.
But even if he ends up on the right, it's still prime real estate next to Gagai.
You're still going to get the 50-55 point averages a game.
Well, if anything, it could go up because Dom Young, how many tries did he score last season?
25, yeah.
How many did Marju score on the left?
Yeah, I don't know. I think like 20-odd. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there could be an uplift plus the base.
Chances are he just comes back. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting take.
Because
yeah.
I was like, you see how many line breaks Tuala's made in the last sort of three games. And you're like, he's making more line breaks than Greg Marzu did when he was playing.
He's a different player to what we saw last season. Tuala's different.
He's different this year, man.
The only thing I would say to that is that they've spent so long getting Greg Marzu to a point where he can handle himself defensively.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't know if you'd want to complicate things.
No, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, because he did have some massive issues.
And mate, I don't know if you want to put him next to Dane Gagai, who defensively has his own issues as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's
that probably negates that. Actually, I didn't actually think of that.
To his credit, I've actually been really impressed with his defense. Mm. He's been really good. So yeah, I can't see them. Yeah, I get it from an attacking point of view, but I think Greg is safe on that left edge. Yep,
defense.
Looking into the future, and I know your comp changes so quickly and so much happens, but Greg would obviously be CTW1.
Yes.
Is the other guy, is there another guy in your squad that you see being a strong CTW2, or is it just week-to-week matchups?
It's going to be week-to-week matchups between Kiraz, Whiten and Kelly, just depending on who's got the better run because – look, if the Titans have a really good matchup from a defensive point of view, especially to left-sided teams, Kelly's going to get a run.
Yeah.
If no one has a matchup out of the three, then I'll probably just lean on Karaz because he'd rather the better base out of the three. So, yeah, there is a little bit of upside in those guys, but it is heavily matchup dependent.
Natty, any more questions for him?
Nah, that's pretty much it. I'm not really worried about his team, if I'm honest.
And what's your record right now?
I think 3-2.
3-2. Okay.
Or maybe 4-1. I can't remember.
So if you had to declare it now, you were top 8, you were top 4, you were grand final, is this a premiership winning side?
This will be good.
Oh, I've got all the makings of a premiership side. Any team that has Fifita and Pappy can win a comp.
3-2, yeah, bro.
3-2, yep. Yeah. Yeah, any team that has Pappy and Fifita can win a comp. Fifita's actually returned way better than I was ever anticipating.
Yep.
I thought he was going to come back at maybe mid-50s. He's knocked that out of the park. So I'm a little bit more confident than I probably was before. So, yeah, finals, definitely probably top half the table.
Yeah.
In the regular season, I definitely will give it a shake this year.
I think from memory, the Melbourne Storm, their draw in finals is pretty juicy, isn't it?
It is, yep. Yeah. So that's why I've lined up Eli Katoa and Pappy for that.
I think your season might come down to if Pappy ever gets goalkeeping.
Yeah. The fact that they've just extended Nick Meaney probably suggests that he won't.
And he's kicking goals well.
He's kicking at an incredible clip, which hurts me each week.
But I think all it would take is for Nick Meaney to have 3 or 4 weeks off, probably take the tee for a few weeks, and I wouldn't be surprised if he holds it.
Yeah, he just wouldn't give it back.
Like, it could change very, very quickly. But I do think that's going to be, like, I think that potentially decides your
season.
Fingers crossed. All right. We move on?
Yeah, Maguru's team.
Oh, boy.
What's your team name?
Rancho Relo Maxo. If you're a Simpsons fan, you'll like that one.
It's good.
All right, I'll take you through my draft day.
Go.
Yeah, okay, right. As I said, I ended up at pick number 8. I thought I was going to get Pappy. Ended up with Scotty Drinkwater. Actually, I hadn't looked into Scott Drinkwater all that much on the day because I just assumed he would go 6 or 7 and I'd end up with Pappy. But when Pappy went pick number 5, I sort of had to scramble a little bit.
That's so early compared to the 23 now.
Exactly, but I think yours is incredible value, and I honestly, when Phil took Pappy in ours, like, a few guys thought it was too early, but I was like, fuck, he can actually win you a comp. I get it.
Yeah,
it's a belief.
I fucking get it.
Especially in a captain's league.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. 100%. So I actually thought it was a really, really good play, and I hope it works out for Phil. He deserves to get rewarded for that. Drinky, I went him at 8. I then needed another high ceiling. Pre-season, I was very big on Kalen Ponga. Wasn't able to get him, obviously, so then I picked up Greg Marshew to jump on the left sting.
Yep.
Obviously, the injury wasn't ideal, but very keen to have Marshew back. Number 3, I thought I'd get high ceiling players in the next few rounds. I was pretty confident I would, so I took a punt on Britton Nicotta. Not really a punt, sorry. He was just a safe 2RF. I always lean into what you guys say quite often, that you need one of those 60 2RFs in your first few picks. So I thought with Marshew and Drinky, I've got my high ceiling guys. It was time to just solidify a little bit.
Yep.
After that, pick number 4, for context at the time, there was a lot of talk about Lomax playing fullback.
Yeah.
It was actually this night we actually watched the Charity Shield where it was like he was going to get there, but Sloane actually played really well, to be fair. So was happy to grab Lomax at 4, which now looks like a genius pick.
Oh yeah.
It was probably just on the money for when I got Lomax, I think realistically. Hopefully he gets dual and moves to fullback soon. Number 5, this was one probably a bit of a homer pick for me, Reuben Cotter. At the time, I wasn't happy with it.
I was about to say, do you draft with your head or your heart?
This one was a hard pick. More than happy to admit that.
Yeah.
This one's actually turned out okay for me so far. Yeah. He's been pretty good, Reuben. Dual position's been handy, but I've got 2RFs falling out of my ass now. So I think he got made captain a few weeks before this, so I thought maybe there's a bit of uptick there. Reuben's going to have his 70s. He's going to have his 40s. At the end of the day, I don't think the guys you play at your front row forwards are going to win your comps anyway.
Nah.
So number 6, I got here and Reece Robson was there at pick 77. I didn't have a hooker, and as you guys know, hooker's normally my position that I go, fuck it.
Yep.
Bro, pick 6, I was like, I don't think I can leave him there.
Have to.
Yeah.
In your deep league, fuck.
Yeah, so I went Reece Robson, and honestly, I didn't expect him to go as good as he has. I thought he'd be a 55 guy, which I was going to be okay with. For him to be scoring the way he is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible pick, and it's turned out really well. He, he has more of a ceiling than I expected this season as well.
And then we turned rogue corner.
Uh-oh.
Is this where you avoid going any halves?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Well, once I had my hooker, I had my fullback, I went, fuck halves. I'm going to fill the rest of my team and then work it out, which, as you guys know, is always my strategy.
Yep.
So pick seven, I was very, very high on Josh Curran.
Mm.
In the preseason, I thought he'd play 13. He hasn't played 13. He's played as a front row forward, but some of the 13s I watch nowadays, the way that they just catch and deliver.
Yeah.
Not good for Supercoach.
Yeah, it's not great for Supercoach, is it? So, and as much as Curran was always going to get through a heap of defensive work, I like the way that they're using him as a front row forward.
Yep.
Maybe as a on the edge, it'd be better, but I don't think it'd be as consistent. It's not like he's in a good team, so I don't know how good edge it'd be. So really happy with how Curran worked out. I obviously pushed pretty heavily for him to get dual position. He's managed to, which has helped me. Pick eight. Siwa Wong. This was a real homer pick. Yeah. Big duck eggs. I'll tell you what, if you would have had a camera on me on my plane to Vegas when team list got announced just as we took off and he was starting, it almost hit me in the bottom of the chin. I was very, very excited.
Screams of AKP getting drafted like pick five last season.
You know what?
He doesn't forget, does he, Walker?
No, it's very good. Yeah,
steel trap.
I think pick five's a little bit overs. That hurts. But anyway. But yeah, Wong was – honestly, when I picked him, I thought, oh, this will be interesting. I looked around the room and they all went, we thought you'd go earlier. I was like, that hurt me heaps more. That stings. So yeah, it hasn't played out overly well with Wong. Pick nine. This was one I thought I got supreme value with. If you remember in the preseason, Corey Oates. He's looking the best he's ever looked, blah, blah, blah. He finally gets his opportunity this week. I don't think he's safe there at all.
No.
But yeah, I was stoked with Corey Oates at the time. That was probably my biggest shock of the first Teamless Tuesday was that he wasn't on the sting. It's wild that I got Daniel Tupou at pick 10 in my comp.
That's wild with the depth of your league.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
good. Very happy at 133. I'll tell you the other one that I was like on draft day, I sort of had a plan that if I ended up down the bottom at 12, 13, that Teddy would be my guy. I was happy to back Teddy in this year. So Daniel Tupou was always a bit of a target for me.
Yep.
I actually wanted to get the Tupou-Billy Smith pairing, but then Billy Smith got taken.
Billy Smith's thankfully a bit of a homer pick for you as well.
Big time. Yeah.
You're a Roosters guy, aren't you?
Big Roosters guy.
Really uncalled for. Number 10, Daniel Tupou. Pick 11. This is where we got a little bit desperate. Drew Hutchison picked him up.
You have no right to call me out for picking Cody Walker.
Mate, you're in a Mickey Mouse league, my for fuck's God. Sake.
Bro, you picked him third. Which is 148. We're talking about you.
This is like, how have you not sorted out any of your halves positions? Holy shit.
When you're playing deep leagues, mate, by the way, did you notice that I didn't skip over Drew Hutchison like a fucking coward? When you're in deep leagues.
Mate, I didn't know we were going through every single player.
Yeah, we didn't want to hear your top three.
But you
not that
go
important.
Through every single player except Cody Walker.
Talk about Fogarty. Anyway.
Look, Hutcho was a shit pick. I got really hoodwinked in the preseason by looking at his halfback stats in those games where he based 50. Give you the hot tip, he's not basing 50. He's coming up with fuck all attacking stats. But there's just no halfbacks in my league. The only halfback that's on my waiver wire that's playing first grade is Bud Sullivan. He's only there because of an injury. So
he's not.
I made a good halfback play later in the season. We'll get to that soon. But yeah, Hutcho's still in my team.
Okay.
I don't think he'll last too much longer. But the thing with Hutcho is he's not going to get you seven.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get you 35.
Yeah, good base.
So in my comp, I don't hate that. I just hate when you have fucking 1 to 19 scores in your team. I can't deal with that. If you get a 35, as long as I've got a good team elsewhere, I can deal with it. But yeah, Hutcho, there was just nothing better.
Yep.
Pick 12, Ben Trbojevic. There is a – what's upstairs, Kat? What are they called?
What the fuck is going on out there?
That's not a vacuum. They're a podiatrist up there, so they've got some rollers that go on there.
I see.
So for ages, Kat thought that was vacuums upstairs going back and forth.
I'm sorry, you can't really hear me, but I thought they vacuumed like
cleanest floors in Sydney.
Yeah, it was unreal.
And then he broke it to me, and then it's the roller for the podiatrist.
Love that.
Never change.
Nice pick one, 12. Kathleen.
I went Burbo, and boys, I'll tell you what, on
talk
draft
about
day, Like, fucking tell me about it. Wow. I was walking around telling people I had the draft pick so much
in round one. You would have been like, how clever am I?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's all come
what
home to roost.
What has happened to him?
Oh, mate, he's just... And you know what? Now I look back and I go, was he ever the guy we thought he was?
Maybe
was
he wasn't.
Do we just see him in small sample size and get excited?
It was that,
preseason
game that made us all...
But even before that, for the last few years, all we've ever said is, if Burbo gets minutes, he's going to be a gun.
We're sucked in by the Tommy Turbo, like, allure.
Also, this is a perfect example of classic talk getting in the way of draft.
Yeah.
The lines get blurred.
He is a big classic guy, isn't he?
He's a big classic guy. He talks about being a big draft guy, but please. I think the lines are blurred and he's got a little bit confused here.
The rooted
break evens don't matter in draft, bro.
Really hurtful again. Really uncalled for. You welcome someone into your house and this is how they treat you. Shit on the carpet
you
on your way
knew
out.
You what you were getting yeah. into.
Speaking of know what I was getting myself into, at pick 176, Kai Pierce Paul.
Wow.
After all the talk that you had in the preseason, I'm surprised anyone in your league let him slip that far.
Yeah, how'd they let this happen?
Well, you got to remember at that point it was all about Dylan Lucas. The week before he scored two tries in the trial. Kai Pierce Paul had a foot injury. Like it was a very different situation to what it is now.
That's true.
And I had a feeling about Kai Pierce Paul that when he would get his chance eventually and he'd brain it. So very happy with that at pick 13. He's been a great get for me. I think he's averaging about 54 or something and he hasn't really had any attacking stats yet. So and when they come, I reckon they're going to flow
for sure.
Kai Pierce Paul. Pick 14, another bed shit here. Needed halves, saw dual position, Bud Sullivan, and thought, if anyone can get the best out of him, it's Benji. Turns out Benji can get the best out of every other half in the club except fucking Bud Sullivan.
You're a big Bud guy.
I am. Yeah. I've fallen into this trap a few times.
You were honey dicked so bad.
Yeah, I was honey dicked in round 4-2 when I picked him up again.
Oh, no.
Once again, no halves. He was the only one available, it wasn't ideal. To be fair, he won me my draft game on the weekend because after he got hooked, there was an injury and they had to put him back on.
So did you waiver for him?
No, I got him a free agent.
Okay, that's all right then.
Yeah. I think. I'm pretty because I got him during the weekend.
That was a lie.
No, I did get him during the weekend. Did I look at him at the waiver wire? Yes.
Maury Povich, that was a lie.
Did a shit front row forward stop me from getting Bud Sullivan? Probably. Next up. I actually drafted Inari Tuala at pick 15.
Respect on that one. He has performed so much better than I've ever seen.
I ended up with a really good CTW group that I actually didn't hold on to Tuala. I dropped him. What's that?
I said, oh, wow.
Yeah, well, because I had Marsu and I had other CTWs and I needed to fill other spots. And I was just like, fuck, Tuala's on the right edge. I want him on the left. I probably didn't realize how much base he was doing just yet either. I can't remember the context of how he went in the first 2 weeks, but I just sort of remember thinking, oh, I don't know about if he's going to be the guy. But since then, he has blown it away, and it's one of my big regrets.
I guess, but it's probably not something you'd want to – like if Marju was still fit, it's probably not something you'd want to maintain is having a winger from both sides of the same team.
Yeah, with KP at fullback, I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
But I can see what happened here. He played the first game. He played 40 minutes and he got injured. It was a hamstring, I think it was. And then it was like, we don't know when he'll be back. So I dropped him then and moved on from him.
Yep.
So that one's not ideal because he's turned out to be a really, really good play to Tuala.
He has,
which sucks. But you can't win them all. Pretty happy with my CTWs.
Yep.
Pick 16, I was very happy with this one, Morgan Smithies. It's been up and down.
I was going to say that, yeah.
But I looked at him last weekend. I can't remember who they played, who they lost to, that really bad performance. And Ricky Stewart walked into the presser and said, we were shit, fucking changes, guys aren't going to be there. And when I watched that game, I felt that when Morgan Smithies wasn't on the field, they really struggled. And they came out this week, brained it, Smithies played the 80 minutes.
Yep.
And instead of just being that lock that moves the ball, he took 19 hit-ups.
Yep, tucked it.
And they looked heaps better. So I was really off Morgan Smithies 2 weeks ago. Now I'm really excited. Corey Horsburgh's out for a few weeks, so there's no other ball player there that they'll use.
And I think I might have seen a couple of tackle breaks over the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, there was actually an offload on the weekend too. So,
stop the fight. Yeah.
Ooh, that zipper got to work out. Morgan Smith is happy where he is. Pick 17, I didn't think Kyle Felt was going to be in the starting team for the Cowboys. I would have gone with Valerie.
Shout out Donny Sports.
Yeah.
Shout out Donny Sports. Over my face. I've got drink water, so it just made sense to go Kyle Felt. Even though I didn't think he was going to get picked, it made sense to go
him. This late in the draft, you throw him specky picks for sure.
And, mate.
I mean, if I mean, we're looking at your team. You're doing Specky Picks in pick six. So, yeah, next one.
Oh.
Found his voice, eh? Oh. Captain Courageous over there. So, yeah, Kyle Felt's been great for me. Boys, the thing that I love about Kyle Felt, and I think I have semi-valimate owed to this, his base stats, he's averaging 31 a week.
He's gone up to another level. Like, he's not done this in previous seasons.
I think because his jersey's always been safe. Now it's not.
Yeah, he's actually having to work for it.
My favorite thing about you, Guru, and this, you need to keep close eye on Guru and how he talks through his reels and his podcasts and his bets especially, everything comes back to his draft team. So you will notice that, like, he'll quote, like, oh, Kyle Felt had 177 meters. Any other year, you wouldn't fucking hear him say that. He hates Kyle Felt. In his draft, now he's in his draft team, he's quoting fucking meters from Kyle Felt. And then you see the bets that he puts on, about even, guarantee you, most of them are his draft team. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan. But you got to be in tune to what's doing with Guru's draft team.
There was a guy that commented on an about even post last week and goes, when are you morons going to realize he just bets on his draft team?
Bro,
I was like, oh, fuck, delete that, get rid of that.
Jeez, I feel seen.
Yeah, hit me right between the eyes. That was tough. True.
And everything I go, yeah, draft, that's a draft call. Yeah. I love it.
Sam Hughes was my last pick. I left front row forward to the end because fuck front row forward. So Sam Hughes was all the talk in pre-season.
It's a dart at the dartboard and they were light in the middle. So
there was just nothing left. Yeah. So grabbed him, knew he wouldn't survive. I was a bit hopeful he'd actually be okay. He was not. He was not even close to okay.
It was not okay.
So, Sammy Hughes was my last pick. So since then, boys, I have made a couple of changes. Reece Robson has survived at hooker. I've got Ruben Cotter in my front row still. I've got a couple of front row forwards on my bench, Alex Twoll, Francis Molo. I've also got Josh Curran in the dual position now. I'm looking at Twoll and Molo at the moment, just trying to work out.
I'll just stop you there, Guru. As I'm looking at your team, and now we all know this at home, we're watching along, how much Guru has been jumping up and down about, oh, Sangster, fuck, can we have front row forward dual eligibility for Josh Caranrola? Jeez, we heard enough about it.
It was a big campaign. It was huge.
Huge. Politicians were involved in it, right? And I'm just looking at your team. Why are you playing Josh Curran in your 2RFs, not your front row forward?
Oh, there needs to be a fucking investigation.
What's doing there, bro?
Depth, boys. Should learn a thing or two about it.
Best Jeff too.
Wow.
Similar to my bets, no one realised that I didn't give a flying fuck about
Clip that up, classic. Please.
It was all about my draft team. And the boys in my draft league were not very happy about the campaign that was launched. And they're going to be even more upset when my drink water for 5'8" / fullback gets launched. They're going to be filthy.
Test the powers, bro. Test it.
Why not? My 2RFs at the moment, Britt Nikita, Kai Pierce-Paul, Morgan Smithies. And I've got Ben Trbojevic if need be, but he's not making the side at the moment. Alex Twoll also dual position, so I've got a bit of coverage in my forwards. Mate, I made a play for Jack Cogger at the start of the year, just thinking I thought he would eventually take Tyson Gamble's spot. Wildly, he took Hastings' spot, and then Jacko got his spot back. So we'll take that. The thing that I actually love is that, and what I'm waiting for, and as you guys know, in my league, there are just no halfback 5'8s available. My next push will be Jack Cogger to get dual position because he's playing 5'8 now.
And then you can put Drew Hutchinson.
Yes. Then I'll have my halfback in 5'8 and I'll be okay.
Is he wearing the number 6 on his back or is that Hastings?
No, he's wearing it, Cogger.
Oh, well, he's going
to
get it.
So it's undeniable. Yeah,
round 12.
Yeah, and I might have to bring him into my classic team just to prove that.
Cue the campaign.
It's a decent play, which I'm willing to do. I am willing to throw. I can beat Tim Williams with a Jack Cogger. That's okay.
Cut that up.
Get the banners made up. Start the reels.
How good. So they're my halves at the moment. I actually don't have a 5'8 in my team at the moment. And we actually had a – do you want to talk about this now or
– yeah, like I thought this – and I'll have to look into this a little bit more because I'm – so obviously you're not running with a 5'8 at the moment, which makes your bench 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people on the bench. Wow. So I'm doing that same with front row forward. I'm just not having a front row forward. So that is just a blank space. So I've got 5 on my bench. But with mine, it won't let me waiver for a position other than front row. It wants me to fill my team before I do anything else. Now, if I've got a full team, I can get rid of that front row forward and waiver for another position, and then that fucks that position off. But then before I make another move or another waiver, it wants me to fill that team. Now, you were saying that's not the case with you. It'll make – you can keep that blank spot forever and a day.
You know, it's funny in hindsight. I would have had 1,000 conversations with this about with you guys because I just always assumed yours was exactly the same because I do this every single year. This is what I do in finals. I run without a position.
Yeah.
You guys have probably just always assumed that I – use a non-playing player in there.
Yeah.
I just run one short usually the entire year. Yeah. Unless my team's full, which it will be this week. But all season I ran with one front row forward and now I'm running with 1-5-8 and I will probably run with 1-5-8 probably until Jack Cogger gets dual position. So this is something that I do year in, year out. I reckon it's a great play.
Well, it's something I'm going to have to look in for in through the settings that I've got set up here. But the only reason I found out about it was we've got a bet on a mandatory bet round this week where it's like, the team with the most tries win. So your team has the most try tally, you'll win. And so I've gone a little bit left field here and eyes up footy and I've gotten rid of one of my front row forwards. I fucked off Mofo and I've brought in Jesse Arthurs hoping that either Iro or Jesse Arthurs comes in as an auto emergency under my starting 13.
With a try. Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yep.
And this is in my comp. I've been able to just draft whoever the hell I want, and it hasn't worried me. Like I actually traded out Bud Sullivan to pick up Alex Twell.
Bro, the way the front row forwards are going at the moment, fuck them.
It's not worth doing it. It's really
fuck
not.
Fuck them. Yeah. They're so bad. They're just like we'll get to my team in a minute. But I had Moeika Fotuaika, and he's been pus.
Yeah.
Pure squeezed pus. See you later. I don't want any part of it.
Tell me a forward that Desi hasn't ruined for Supercoach though.
But just any team. Like consistency is an issue with the front row forward position.
You'd be hoping it's for Fafita.
I meant front row forward.
Yeah. So I've got that hole there. My CTWs, that is not my team. That is your team. My CTWs are looking great at the moment. I'm absolutely stoked with how that's played out. My CTWs at the moment, Lomax, Tupu, Kyle Felt. I picked up Tommy Eisenhuth in a comp like mine just to plug 45 a week whilst Marshy was out. I'm happy with that. Honestly, Greg Tommy Eisenhuth, he's exactly what I thought Burbo would be.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's every chance that I'll drop Burbo over the next few weeks and maybe pick up, you know, a halfback that's waiting for an injury or a 5'8 that's waiting for an injury or something. Maybe a Dylan Walker to solve my 5'8 problem for now. But yeah, Tommy Eisenhuth's been a really nice little pickup for me. And I think the longer the Dragons season goes, in my opinion, the more important he gets.
No, I agree.
In true guru fashion, you've taken some absolute gambles, some specky picks that have worked out. Obviously, Lomax. Obviously, Felt's a big one.
Felt's huge.
Cogger in there as well. KPP. All coming up Millhouse at the moment, which is just true guru fashion.
Yeah, but at the same time also, there's ones that have gone to shit there. Like Bencevojevic.
The halves.
Has turned out to be nothing. The halves have been nothing. Like Corey Oates, realistically, has turned out to be nothing. He'll be good for the next 3 weeks, but then he'll be out of that side. And even worse, he could be jersey 17.
Which we've seen in the last couple of rounds.
So, yes, there's been ones that have gone well, but there's also been ones that have been
your
completely
first
shit
four
house.
Picks.
Not to mention Wong, not even in first grade anymore.
Your first four picks in a 14-team league are elite. Like Drinkwater, Mazu, Nicara, and Lomax.
That's – or even –
that's good in a 10
but even team league. Even Robson, pick six.
Yeah.
So good.
No, I was really happy with how draft day went. It's actually the first time I've ever drafted outside of the top six, funnily enough. I just always do well on draft day and challenges and everything. It was actually a bit of a challenge. But, mate, you now look back, like if you could redraft it all with how Drinky's going, where do you take Drinky?
I mean, he was always going to go like this. You've got to factor in the bye that will be in the finals. But – I mean, how much are you really waiting that?
Well,
especially
mate,
for your league, it's like...
Well, that's what's going to decide my season. I have to finish top four, which I think I will. I should be okay. I'm in there at the moment and I haven't had Nicara or Marshu for a month now. So I think I'll be okay. But I have to win week one to avoid that bye. And that's been my whole thing. So that's why, like for example, normally I would never drop Wong. I would want to hold him and wait and do my normal play.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the weekend, that's why I dropped him for Bud Sullivan because I thought I just need points at 5'8 to get a win here because I just need to stack my wins. I've got a team that can win this comp. The big thing for me is, mate, like you can see the amount of Cowboys I've got. Drinky, Robson, Cotter, Kyle Felt. They play the Bulldogs in my grand final week. Yeah. And they're coming off a bye 2 weeks before, so they're not going to rest dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I can just get to grand final day.
That first round of the finals, that win.
That's the key one. I have to win that or I'm pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, pick number two, I'm glad I didn't do it. Oh, there's part of me, I toss and turn on this all the time. Pick number two, I had the option between Marshew and Val Holmes. And I thought I should probably just go Marshew so I'm not totally Cowboy centric. But I now look back on it and going, fuck, should I have just gone all in?
All in.
Like if I don't win finals week one, I'm not going to win anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which you would have been very happy if you were sitting with Val Holmes, regardless of how buys are looking.
And you know what the beauty of it is as well? Like every other team has three. If I win week one, my Cowboys only have two buys.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, that's one that I look back on. I'm like, oh.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's tough. But can't win them all. I'm pretty happy with Marshew anyway. So. Yeah, that's my team, boys. It's funny. I lost my first two games and I was a little bit rattled because then Marcy got injured, Nikoro got injured, and I thought, fuck, Wong got dropped. Like, everything went wrong and I haven't lost a game since. It's wild.
It's a good team.
You do go well when your back's against the wall. So, no, I think when you add in Marju into that team, add in Nikoro, yeah, I think.
Nikoro
needs to start firing.
Yeah.
Look, he – that hasn't really performed from a attacking sense, even in the games that he was.
I think he only played one game, didn't he?
Two games. I think he played two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, played two games. Yeah. I mean, he scored 57 in the first one with no attacking stats, really. Yeah. So the other game, he got sin binned and whatnot. So
we've seen in the past, he doesn't have a huge ceiling. So I think he tops out at about 85, 90 with a try. But he'll definitely prop up yourself.
I think one thing that has worried me with Nikoro that I was a bit worried about going into draft day with Nico Hines was that combination with they're a little bit out of sorts.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping now that just the familiarity of getting him back there might help Nico.
Yeah.
But yeah, Britt Nikoro, I need him to do well, but he's not as important to my team as he probably should be now.
Because you're going to get a good look at him this week. Yeah. This right edge versus the left edge of the Bunnies. This left edge for the Bunnies is horrific. Jack Whiten, if you look at the amount of line breaks he's conceded and tries that he's conceded over how many games has he played? Three or four? Like fucking disgusting. If they isolate Jack Whiten with Britt Nikoro, game over. Nice little ATS for those following along at home.
Honestly, boys, I look at my team and with Lomax, Drinkwater, I don't know how much I need out of Nikoro, realistically.
Yeah.
I can't see a world where I vice captain him or captain him. Even considering him this weekend, he's playing South.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you've got enough high ceiling options to go your VC and your captaincy route. Yeah, you'll be a shot in any game you play.
Yeah, as long as the Cowboys just keep scoring points, which I just can't see them slowing. And you know, the best thing for Supercoach is the Cowboys can't fucking defend either. They're constantly in these fucking shootouts.
Yeah.
Where they're happy to concede and they're just, okay, we'll just score four more than you. Sweet.
And the reason why they're scoring points is their forward pack standing up this year. And that's why they struggled last year.
Up against shit sides.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen when they come up against a decent forward pack what happens.
But I still think outside of the top four, I think they can stand up to anyone. Mm. It's just those top four sides that I worry about. Yeah, that's me, boys.
Not bad. All right, looks like I'm up. Save the best for last. So the Eskimo Bros, I picked it third. Well, my team's actually the Throbbertrons this year because you'll both realise in a second how many throbbers I've got in my side. So I picked third. As soon as I got third, bang, KP. It was always going to be KP. KP goes first. I've never owned KP. Little bit disappointed first couple of rounds, but holy, he's firing.
Mm.
The dude can play underwater. We saw it on the weekend. Had a snorkel and fins on, still went 100 plus. Thanks for coming. I love that. Back this up with Marzu. I love that that combo, which obviously didn't work out because Walker stole him from me. Paddy Carrigan, pick three. Now, it looks good now because Payne Haas is out and Paddy Carrigan's playing 80 minutes. Mm. Love that. Like, he's an absolute weapon. When Payne Haas comes back, we'll see how that shakes out with Paddy Carrigan.
You guys love Paddy Carrigan from a Supercoach point of view. Weren't you super high on him last year?
Just love
as well?
Him. I just love him. And
he's a big fan. He doesn't have upside, which he's a good captaincy option at each and every week as a backup. And Broncos play a lot of Sunday games, so that side of it is.
I just enjoy watching him play. So it is one of those things that we talk about in the preseasons where I'm like, yep, back the stats, obviously get those guys that can perform, got good strength of schedule, but also sort of tie in guys that you enjoy watching. And I really enjoy watching Paddy Carrigan, so he was a bit of a man crush pick for me. Then pick four, so 46, Jeremy Marshall King was there, and I was like, come on in, come on down, brother. Come on in. Then round five, pick 51, Sam Walker hasn't looked great this season, obviously with his concussion the weekend. That is a big worry for me. Round six, pick 70, Ryan Madison comes in. And probably the pick of my draft and the pick of the league, round seven, pick 75, Zach Lomax, my favorite player in the NRL at the moment. Yum, yum, yummy. And then shit the bet here, round eight, pick 94, Moeka Fodawaker, who's done absolutely fucking nothing. Round nine, pick 99, Sifa Talakai, which was good up until KL Iro came in. Wasn't really worried about 5-out at all. I'd already sort of put 5-out aside. I was like, yep, this could be an AE position for me. Pick 118, Jaden Campbell was there. So that's a value play. He comes in. Teague Wilton at pick 123. Yeah, boy.
What a defensive combination you've assembled right there.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, to be fair, boys, Teague Wilton's improved a lot.
He has from last season.
I've had to walk back a lot of very bold climbs.
He was awful.
Well, he had to.
It was awful in defense.
And he has, to his credit. Yep. Got to give it to him. He's been very good this year.
Yep.
Terrell May, round 12. Yum. Bailey Simonson, round 13. No good. Round 14. See you all.
Oh, he jumped on the roo bag.
Yes. So obviously a lot of changes that we'll talk about in a minute. But the floor is your boys. What do you think?
Take us away, Wook. What are you looking at?
First one, I thought you went a little bit early on Carrigan. I rate him as a Toref, but not in round three. I had him pegged in round four. JMK, big fan. I think you got him for value there. Sam Walker, yeah, you got him for value where you got him. Obviously, the partial tear to the ACL is a huge concern. Matto has been a bit of a bed shit. And then, Mo Fodawaker, not great. I mean, outside of your first, like Kalen Ponga and Jeremy Marshall King and Lomax, not super excited about the rest of your picks.
Sifa Talakai at pick 99 with the start that he had was fantastic. Yeah, obviously, until KL Aero come. But, I mean, tell me a better and more consistent CTW to start the season. That was fantastic.
Is it not the most bizarre thing of all time that Craig Fitzgibbon spent, I don't know, 18 months with Sifa Talakai being an okay center but having a lot of things going wrong? Then he spent 4 weeks of Talakai not putting a foot wrong, and then he goes, ah, now I need to make the move.
Yeah.
Now you're a middle forward coming off my bench.
Yeah, wild.
I think it's bizarre.
Wild scenes.
And the amount of times that Iro was 18th man last year and they had injuries in the forward pack and he could have done this and given Iro games and he didn't, it's blown me away.
And they've got Rudolph and Hamilinwelle in the extended bench to come back as well. So what are you thinking?
Well, that's where I, without getting into classic chat, but a lot of people are going Iro this week and I'm like, fuck, I want to wait and see that team list.
Yeah,
for all you know, those middle forwards come back and Talakai goes to centre. Mm.
And the thing is you can wait a week with Iro in classic. So
I look at your team and you've gone KP and Mars here, 1 and 2, which I love, but it is a pretty heavy stack in a captain's league, obviously.
Mm.
And had you not got Zach Lomax, I'd be a lot more critical of you for that. But Lomax is a genuine captain option every week, thankfully.
Yep.
Thank fuck that worked out for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, where I got him, it was going to be value no matter what.
But even, like, regardless of where you got him, it just, like, if you didn't have Lomax, if you had someone else there that was just getting 55, 60, it's still a good pick, but I just worry what your other vice-captain option would be. That's a genuine knockout week in, week out.
Yep.
And it would just mean that if the Knights go poorly or whatever, which,
I mean, they look great. Okay,
they've been up and down. Yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, Walker did me a favour there anyway.
Hopefully KP can just overcome that regardless, which I think it can. Yeah. But, fuck Sam Walker. I don't know if I can ever draft Sam Walker.
No.
For where you have to draft him.
No, it's not worth it.
I just think his floor's too low and he's got the concussions and I just...
Well, he's got the concussions. He's also got a knee that's probably going to give out in the next few years.
Yeah, I just don't know if I can ever. I tell you, you got two guys there that I don't think I'll ever draft again: Sam Walker and Matto. As long as Matto's at the Eels, I can't. Mm. I don't know what his fucking role.
It's just not used like consistently.
You're gonna feel better about that Matto pick in a sec.
Okay, sweet. Do you want to take us away then?
Yeah. So during the 2023 season, I made a bet for a fourth round pick. Won it. Got Hopgood.
Nice. Love that. Mm. One thing I forgot to mention there, Terrell May, fantastic pick.
Yep.
Really like that.
Yep. So that was a late pick, got him. So I ended up with Hopgood, and then I've got that insurance policy of Matto on my bench.
Yeah.
So Matto hasn't even seen my starting side yet. So that worked out well. Hopgood comes in, gave away Teague Wilton. Then I picked up Taylan May, free agents. This is how fucking rattled people were on the Sunday. Completely forgot about Taylan May. Simonson goes, picked up Taylan May.
Hold on, Taylan May didn't get drafted.
Nope.
Yeah, he went undrafted.
I don't think anyone set their pre-draft list. I didn't even set my pre-draft list. Picked up KPP, so Kaipe's Paul for Siwa Wong.
Also undrafted.
Well, do I pick his team every fucking year or what?
It seems that way.
There's a trend every single season. He just picks my boys.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like he watches your podcast after you draft and then he drafts his team. That's what happens.
It's like my reserve grade song.
Yeah.
Cute. Very cute.
This is Rancho Relay Max OA.
Cute. Very cute.
The B side.
The B side.
So KPP comes in. I won Timoko. Nice. Mace Timoko comes in. I gave away May. I love that. And that was before he just went nuclear and fucking scored 124 points. Thank you. Traded away Moeika Fodawaker to get Iro in so that I had Iro and Talakai before this team list came out. And then just traded away Talakai to get Arthurs in because of that try time bet that we have. So Talakai's gone. Iro's in.
I think you might have gone a little bit early on the trade out of Talakai.
Well,
you traded Talakai for Arthurs.
Yep.
To sit on your bench and maybe score a try this week to maybe count. Is that right?
Yeah. For a try scoring bet that we've got on.
Yep. So I could potentially get someone that's better than Talakai if I win.
Yeah, right.
Doing a bet. So at the moment, as it stands.
Risky.
It seems heaps risky to me.
Yeah, well, that's how I play.
Yeah, right.
Let's not sit on our hands here, people.
Risk,
let's
risk
fucking,
it for the biscuit.
Let's go.
Want to be one hell of a biscuit.
Well, I mean, the only other person in my league doesn't really have a leg to stand on because he hasn't won a premiership, and I've won two. So you should be listening to me. More risk from you if I've got to give you any tips.
He's looking at the Gold Coast Titans of draft.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Oh mate, that's harsh. I'd say I'm the New Zealand Warriors.
I felt myself leaning a little bit too closely to you for a couple of minutes.
That was all about though. Let's go heavy here.
Fucking put the gloves away. Jesus, hell, I thought we were friends here.
So at the moment, very happy with my two RFs and my CTWs. My CTWs: Lomax, RTS, Iro, Timoko. I mean, the problem I have there is picking two every week. My back row, I love my back row. It's just, it's a chub a lot here. It's Throbbers galore, Hopgood and Carrigan. Love that. But everything else is lacking. Obviously, KP at fullback, he's my boy.
Yeah.
But my halves are lacking and my front row forward is lacking.
I like JMK
my hook is fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to worry. I'm going to have Terrell May, hopefully, you know, whatever happened last week with that 21. Point score, that's just an outlier. Mm. He goes back to scoring 55, 60 points every week. I'm happy with that. I'm not going to run with another front row forward. I couldn't be bothered with it. So really my only issue is my halves. Sam Walker is obviously a huge worry how he's going with his form, also his injury risk, and just Campbell plays for the Titans.
Mm.
But with my VC options and my captain options, I should be able to overcome that week in, week out.
I was just about to say, a big thing for your captain options, if Roger ends up at fullback, that's a game changer for you.
Do you reckon that happens, though?
No, I don't. I think it's going to take an injury.
They've shown enough faith in CNK to see that through.
Yeah, I think it matters, though. Like, he played well, got a lot of meters.
He's playing like a second fullback anyway.
But his super coach core didn't really surprise me in the fact that, like, oh, that super coach score is so good at fullback. Like, he's still doing the same thing at left center.
Yeah, okay, sure. But, I mean, it was a one-game sample size at fullback. Yeah. Like, we've seen him with a Dally M there. Like, he's a better fullback than he is center.
He hasn't played fullback in NRL for how many years?
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that was a pretty tight game against Newcastle over there too. Like it was, I just think like as a genuine, like if at center, I don't feel confident. I wouldn't feel confident captaining him week in, week out. At fullback, I would.
Yeah, fair.
And it's obviously just on the wish list, but fuck, it'd be unreal if you could get it. We're both in the same boat, mate. Lomax. If he goes to one.
Honestly, is it better?
I don't know.
Fullback? Because he's so fucking good at wing.
Yeah. But that right wing has so much action.
He's making 26 runs a game.
Yeah.
Could you make any more at fullback?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And he's probably got more chance of scoring tries on the right wing anyway. I mean, you look at the Dragons, they're so dominant on their right attack. It's like, I think it's like 57% of the tries that they're scoring are going to the right. But then you funnel into that, every kick is going to him.
Yeah.
It's all funneled to him. And I don't know what he's upset about. If he continues to play right wing, he's a Blues fucking winger.
Yeah, I think it's pretty evident. He just doesn't want to be the Dragons. Yeah. I was saying to Cato in the week, I reckon it is very likely he goes to another club and plays wing.
Wing. He's so good at wing.
I don't know why he'd want to change.
If he can get paid $800,000 to play on the wing, he's a genius.
Mate, wing's more important nowadays.
He's Marzu from last year.
Yeah.
He's this year's Marzu.
Yeah.
I think he's this year's Osaka.
Osaka,
Yes. Goal-kicking winger. His base is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm.
And the fact that, like, he is their number one attacking player, like you said, he's a captain option. Doesn't matter who they play.
He's a captain option.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're playing Panthers. Doesn't matter if they're playing Storm, because every attacking kick goes to him and he's making 26 runs a game.
It's his base that's so high. Crazy. No one
saw this coming. No one saw this coming.
And I think the other thing you need to consider with him as well is that, and you know, I'm just trying to get the stats up in front of you, but I would assume he is reasonably high in the competition for errors at the moment. But, mate, he's either, they put a kick up and he either has an error or catches the ball and fucking scores.
Exactly.
It's one of the two. And because he's where most of his errors are coming from, because he is just competing on every single kick.
I would love to see the stats of the percentage.
Got 11 handling errors. I reckon 70% of those are just when the kick goes up and he's challenging. Yeah, and because he's so good in the air, he always gets a hand to it.
I'd love to see the percentage of kicks that Hunt or Flano put in that actually go to him.
Yeah.
It'd have to be 90.
It'd be
huge. Especially like in the attacking zone.
Yep.
But even, mate, like they're putting kicks up to him from the 40.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're dropping it on the 20 and just making it a 50-50 shot for him. And he's coming down with them.
Yeah.
Mm. Like that's the other thing. I don't think he's scored. He scored off like a grubber in behind the line, but has he scored off a kick, like a bomb or one of those yet? I don't think he has.
He usually lays it off behind him and it's scored
by him. He hasn't even done that.
Yeah.
Like
in previous seasons. I mean,
in previous season, but this year, like he hasn't even got those points yet. When he starts to get them, and there will be days where he'll catch two or three.
And you got Jack Bird inside you that isn't like the greatest ball player and like selfless player. Like usually Jack Bird wants to fucking take it himself. Imagine if Zach Lomax had Zach Lomax.
Offloading to him.
But do we think when he's not auditioning for his next contract for another team, he'll drop a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're seeing
the highest clip we'll see from him.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, if he does, like it would be interesting to see him just in a different environment, what happens to him. Like, everyone keeps saying Parramatta. I would love to see that. I would love to see him outside Dill Brown and Mitch Moses and just with more attacking opportunities.
Well, especially Sivo being out of favour.
Well, and them being short on backs for the last fucking decade.
Ever, yeah.
Well, they continue to play Morgan Harper, so they've got to be, they're struggling.
Biggest fan of Morgan Harper over here.
Yeah. Yep. Still cannot make sense why they let go. And I know he's not a superstar, but he did a job week in, week out. Tom Opacic.
Oh,
yeah. He just solved all their problems.
For sure.
He was so solid.
Yeah. Very weird. So, mate,
yo,
where are we sitting this year? Are we premiership contenders?
I've started the year slow, but I think mainly because KP started the year slow.
Yeah.
He's my man. I captain him every week and he didn't perform. As soon as he started perform, started winning games.
Hmm.
So my team is pretty heavily tied to KP, as it should be in a captain's league. It was my first pick. That's how it rolls. But, I mean, last 2 weeks I've crushed teams. And I'm second overall for points scored. So I'm not worried. Yeah, my record isn't great.
Who tracks points, total points scored? Jesus Christ.
Where are you sitting, bud?
Scraping at the bottom of the barrel there.
I'm first, he's second. Where are you sitting?
What, he's second?
Didn't you say you're second in your comp?
No, points scored, but I'm coming seventh overall for wins.
So you're seventh?
Yes.
But you're second overall in points scored?
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty impressive, mate.
So we've actually swapped. So I'm coming seventh overall, but points scored second. Wooker is seventh for points scored. So there's some issues there. Getting lucky with matchups. It's not points scored, mate.
It's playing the man.
No. But early on the season, you've got to take all these things into account, don't you?
Oh, mate, it's about playing the man, not the.
Well, you can only play what's in front of you. That's true. But just looking into things, you know, we're diving into teams, we're dissecting teams here, and I'm just saying, you're coming seventh for points scored. It's a
Where are you on the ladder, Wool?
Oh, I'm down at fifth. There's a pretty big logjam on three wins. Natty's not in that because he hasn't won three games.
Coming seventh.
Right. So you're seventh on points scored but fifth on the ladder.
Yep.
You're second on points scored and where on the ladder?
Seventh.
Oh. You've been unlucky?
Yes, correct.
Can't be as lucky as some, eh?
That's it. You know, and like luck.
Where did you get one of those losses, by the way?
Luck happens.
Just asking for a mate.
But and that's in a small sample size.
Oh, that's right. I took a play from you as well.
Over a season, luck can't help you. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Boys, before we sign off, I'm sure you would have seen on social media, but I had the most unbelievable game of draft on the weekend.
I know, big scores.
It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
They say lightning doesn't strike twice, but it struck twice in that game.
Yeah, it certainly did. We've had 30 scores ever over 1,000 now, comp.
Who is that bloke?
He's our commissioner, Cozzy.
Cozzy. How's Cozzy doing?
Not well.
Can we do a welfare check on Cozzy?
Can we check
on
Cozzy?
I don't think he's doing too well. Tough, brutal. He got the 12th highest score ever in our super coach. 12 years. Got the 12th highest score ever, and I just happened to get the 7th.
I love how you guys keep that record.
Yeah.
I wish I had done
that. We keep it all on Facebook. It's actually very good. We've just got a thread that we just add to it at the end of every round. If anything changes, we add to it.
Yeah.
It's worth keeping. We've got premierships, minor premierships, most wins in a row, most losses in a row. Keep track of it all. So it's
it would have been a great job for Wooker, but oh well.
Yeah, we also have
I track enough, mate.
We also keep track of worst captain picks ever, best captain picks ever.
Oh, we've got
there
one.
Was a record. Yeah, there was a record.
You can't beat ours. -30
Minus 30 for someone had young
on the weekend.
Captain.
Yeah, we had a minus one or two has been our
minus
worst.
Minus
30. Actually, I can check.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, it's hard for you guys now because so much is lost to history. But if anyone's starting a draft comp, I would highly advise. It is so fucking cool to be
I've
able
always
to go
thought
back
about
and
it,
look
but
at
like,
it.
Fuck, I organise so much. Someone else should fucking do this.
It's definitely a someone else job. Yeah, no doubt about that whatsoever.
Can't someone else do it?
But fuck, it's good.
Yeah, that is good.
It is good.
I like that. All I know is I've got the top score ever in our league to date.
Top score ever?
Yeah.
What is that?
It was when we were a 10-team league and it was like 1,200 or something.
1,200. Yeah, our highest is
1,147 or something.
1,149 in the grand final last year.
That's hectic.
Yeah, it was pretty chronic.
I had like 7 players over 100. It'll never be done.
That's crazy.
It'll never be done again.
Yeah, I think I beat my classic team on the weekend with my third eye without my top three picks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, are you going, Classic?
Doing okay. I think I'm sitting 12,000. So,
Skip.
Getting there.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Long term.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see.
He's a big long term guy.
Yeah.
We've made a few big plays this year.
Fucking oath. Val Holmes is good. I did streamline that Val Holmes move too, if I'm honest.
Yeah, we haven't gone great after that though, to be fair.
Val Holmes, then Lomax. So I've got Val Holmes and Lomax.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'll be trying to get Lomax over the next few weeks. It's going to be interesting with Lomax and Manu. If they both play fullback, everyone's going to scramble.
Yeah, Manu's good.
It's going to be interesting.
I can do Manu with Lomax though. Fuck all cash.
We done and dusted?
I'm not a draft owner of Lomax, so I've gone hammer. But yeah, I think we're wrapped up.
I think that's it, mate. Yeah. That is it. It is good to be in the CBA. I'm it's enjoying good to have
you.
It.
The center of excellence is incredible, Diggs, mate. You guys have outdone yourselves.
Very proud of you.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Very good to have you both, as always. Great to get some draft content snuck in there, and we'll have to maybe we should do a potty at Magic Round.
Let's do it.
Are you both going to be there?
Are we going to be there? Yeah, we'll be there, yeah. Baby.
Friday and Saturday, mate, we'll be locking horns.
Okay, we will have to. I'll take some mics up with us, and we'll do a little draft catch up. Maybe on the Saturday morning.
I will be intoxicated the entire weekend.
No doubt.
Could be good for content though.
Could be great for content. Could be awful. We'll see.
How most good. Likely, yeah.
Magic Round's gonna be great. I can't wait.
It's gonna be good.
Amazing.
It's called Caxton Round too, boys.
Caxton Round.
Caxton Round.
Match coming. Brace yourself.
Okay.
Caxton Round. Love that. All right. I think Kat's about to fall asleep on us. She's had just about enough of all of us. She's only been playing Supercoach for 5 weeks.
She's copped it today.
And, mate, she has to sit through my draft review every week and all my chat and my team list Tuesday. We were sitting there a few weeks ago when he got dropped. I almost cried in front of Kat. Yep. It was great. She's like, are you okay? I was like, Wong got dropped. She's like... Okay.
And
sure.
it hit Kathleen at that point where it's like, well, this is serious.
I'm in too deep.
I've made a serious mistake. These people take this way too seriously.
Every Tuesday is a real experience for her. It's tough. This Tuesday was good, but yeah, there's been some tough ones in there. Mm. All right, we want to go home. Pleasure as always. Make sure you follow Weekly Rubdown. We've both got our Patreons that are high and flying, so come check it out. Mainly theirs for you draft players, obviously. Anything shout-outs before we go or anything, gentlemen?
No, just keep ripping and tearing.
Keep ripping and tearing.
Let's get a couple of premierships.
Build draft. Make draft great.
Make draft great again. Love that.
Yes.
See you next time.
Hooray.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.